we present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Episode 2, The Manila.
Is that the chain my husband showed you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, pretty sure. It's got the penny on the end and it looks exactly the same. Yes, this is it, all right.
Did my husband tell you about the penny?
He said it was in his pocket when a policeman called Dan Kelly arrested him for jaywalking. That was in Chicago in 1914.
Yes.
Your husband told me rather a remarkable story, Mrs. Portland. He said that from the moment he was arrested, his memory was a complete blank and he simply couldn't
What is it, Paul? What's the matter? What's the matter, Mr. Temple?
Steve, look at the date on this penny.
1919.
Why, that's impossible. If the penny wasn't made until 1919, Sam couldn't have had it in his pocket when he was arrested.
Mrs. Portland, when I met your husband the first morning we left New York, he told me a very unusual story. He said that although he was known as Sam Portland, Portland was not in fact his real name. He told me that he didn't know his name, didn't even know his true identity.
That's perfectly true. 35 years ago, Dan Kelly found Sam wandering aimlessly down Portland Avenue in Chicago. He was suffering from amnesia. He just couldn't remember a single thing. He couldn't remember who he was or where he'd come from. Is that the story my husband told you?
It's part of it, yes. But your husband also told me that Hubert Green, his London representative, had cabled him about a private detective called Madison.
Madison?
Yes. He was supposed to have discovered certain facts about your husband's past. But when I spoke to Green about this, he said he'd never heard of Madison.
I've never heard of him either. All this is news to me.
Your husband went so far as to say that Madison was his sole reason for coming over here.
But that's ridiculous. We all know why Sam wanted to come to England. Moira, his daughter, works over here, and the silly girl's been making a fool of herself. She's got herself engaged to a sleek young man called Chris Boyer, and I know for a fact that Sam was very worried about it.
Chris Boyer? The name's familiar.
He's a professional dancer. He works, if one can call it work, at the Manila Club.
Yeah, Mrs. Portland, you still haven't told us about the watch chain.
Oh, yes, yes, I was forgetting. Just before we left New York, Sam said a rather peculiar thing. Actually, I thought he was joking.
Oh, what did he say?
He said, if anything should happen to me, Stella, please take great care of my watch chain. You'll probably find it's the most valuable thing I possess.
Is that all he said?
Yes.
He didn't mention the penny at all?
No.
Mrs. Portland, why did you tell Hubert Green that the chain was missing?
Because he was so curious about it. All the way down from Southampton, he kept on asking me about the chain, throwing out veiled hints that he'd like to see it. I made up my mind that I wasn't going to let him see it.
Well, it looks a perfectly ordinary watch chain. The only curious point is the date on the penny.
Yes, that rather worries me. It almost makes me feel that Sam's story about himself was a fabrication.
Well, that's one explanation, of course. But there is another.
What?
Somebody's changed the penny. Hello, Sir Graham. I didn't expect you until 4 o'clock.
I've been lunching with some friends in Berkeley Square. They started to talk a lot of highfalutin nonsense about crime, so I walked out on them. Why the devil don't people realise I'm just a flat-footed copper?
Because you don't look like a flat-footed copper. What you need is a whiskey.
I couldn't agree with you more. Where's Steve?
She's been down at Bramley all the week. She's due back on the 3:15. Uh-huh. Would you like soda with this or water?
Water, please.
There we are.
Thank you.
I'm seriously thinking of selling Bramley Lodge. It's very inconvenient, always trotting down to Evesham. I've got my eye on a place outside Dorking.
Certainly a very nice part of the world.
Yes, it is. Skull.
Skull.
Well, did you go to the inquest?
No, I was too busy. I said Vosper.
What happened?
For your information, Mr. Samuel L. Portland died from natural causes. The coroner was quite convinced there was no suspicion of foul play.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Mm. Yes. And yet there's something behind this Portland business. I don't know what it is, but I'm quite sure.
Well, let's take the facts, Temple. Either Portland told you the truth about himself and about Hubert Green getting in touch with him, in which case Green lied to you when you saw him in Southampton, or Portland didn't tell you the truth, in which case...
In which case his story was a complete hoax.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You think Green is lying? And he did contact Portland about this mysterious Mr. Madison?
Yes. On the other hand, I'm not so sure that Green wasn't telling the truth about Mrs. Portland.
What do you mean?
I'm not so sure that Green is interested in the watch chain. I've got a hunch that the chain was lost for a short time, and Mrs. Portland kicked up a devil of a fuss about it.
In other words, she suspected Green without, in your opinion, any real justification.
Yes.
Well, so far as we're concerned, Temple, there just isn't a case. I'm putting the whole thing right out of my mind.
Well, I'm not. There's too many coincidences for my liking. First of all, you receive an anonymous letter stating that if Portland comes over here, a murder will be committed. And
but
then
a murder hasn't been committed.
No, one was very nearly committed, Sir Graham.
When?
5 nights ago, here, in this very flat.
Oh, but now look, just because a man breaks into your flat, it doesn't mean to say that he's...
I don't think he'd had anything to do with this business.
I'm sure it hadn't.
I don't know. Would you like another drink, Sir Graham?
No, thanks. I suppose I'd better be getting back to the yard. Heaven only knows there's enough to do.
So what are you on at the moment?
We're awfully worried about this counterfeit business. I expect you've read about it.
No, can't say I have.
It's serious, Temple. For several months now, the continent has been flooded with counterfeit notes, chiefly dollars, of course.
Mm.
About a week ago, the French people stated that, in their opinion, the gang were not actually working from the continent, but from England.
You mean the French authorities think that the gang have their headquarters here, in this country?
Yes.
Do you think that?
2 months ago, I should have said no. Now, I'm not sure.
Who are the people behind this? Have you any idea?
I wouldn't say this to anyone else, Temple, but frankly, at the moment, we just haven't a clue.
Well, there must be somebody behind it. Somebody with a first-class brain, if you ask me. Organisations don't run themselves, Sir Graham.
No. Well, now you know why I'm not particularly interested in the late Mr. Portland, to say nothing of his watch chain.
Excuse me. Hello?
Is that you, Paul?
Hello, Steve. Where are you?
Paul, listen. I'm in Harridge's. I want you to come here straight away. It's urgent, darling.
What's happened?
I came back from Bramley on the 11:40. When I got to Paddington, I was just getting into a taxi when I saw a man cross over to the taxi rank. At first, I couldn't place him. Then, suddenly, I realized who it was. Darling, it was that man.
Which man?
The man who broke into the flat. The man who knocked you out.
Are you sure?
Absolutely sure.
Well, go on, Steve.
I didn't know what to do. I waited a bit, and then, when I saw he was taking a taxi, I decided to follow him. Anyway, he's here, at Harridge's.
Oh, where are you actually speaking from?
I'm in a call box on the ground floor, you know, darling, next to the flower stall.
And where's the man?
He's in the snack bar. It's all right. He can't come out without my seeing him. In any case, he's only just given his order.
Has he seen you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, darling. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
What's happened?
Get your hat, Sir Graham. I'll explain in the car. Hello, Steve. Is he still here?
Darling, you've been quick. Hello, Sir Graham.
Steve, is he still here?
Yes, he's in the snack bar.
Are you sure it's the same man, darling?
Yes, I've told you. I'm quite sure. In any case, if you walk down the corridor over there, you can see him through the glass door. He's sitting at the counter.
Come along, Sir Graham. Come along, Sergeant.
Sir.
Well, yes, that's him, all right.
The chap in the grey suit with the attaché case.
Yes, that's him, Sergeant. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Nice work, dear.
Yes, you do very well, darling.
He's paying his bill, sir.
We'll pick him up as soon as he comes out.
Well, he's a pretty tough customer, Sir Graham. It's 100 to 1. He'll make a dash for it.
Is there another entrance near here?
Yes, just over on the right. It leads onto Knightsbridge.
Well, you'd better watch your Temple.
He's probably armed, Sir Graham. I think the three of us ought to tackle this character.
No, you watch the door, Temple. Otherwise, if he gets away from us, we'll probably lose him.
I think he's right, Paul.
Yes, all right. You better come with me, Steve.
He's rather a long time coming out of the snack bar.
I hope there isn't another entrance to that place.
No, I'm sure there isn't. Oh, there he is. He's just come out.
The sergeant's talking to him.
Take your hands off me!
Look out, Steve. He's coming this way.
Stop him, sir. Stop him.
Oh, no, you don't, my friend.
What the devil do you think you're doing? Leave me alone. Take your hands off me. Do you hear what I say? Take your hands off me.
Oh, look out, Paul. Mind the case. Mind.
Oh, oh. Oh.
Paul, oh. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm only winded.
Where is he? Temple, where is he?
This way. Come on, Sir Graham.
Yeah. He's given us the slip, Temple.
It looks very much like it.
Confound it. If only we'd held on to the fellow,
oh,
you could
have... there he is.
Where?
She's right, sir.
He's just crossing the road, Temple.
He's making for the underground. Come on, Sir Graham. Come on, Sergeant. Sir? We'll head him off.
Paul, be careful.
He's spotted us, Temple.
Paul, that taxi. He's not looking where he's going. He's running straight into... Oh!
You ran headlong into it.
How dreadful.
Go back into Harridge, Steve. There's no need for you to get mixed up in this. We'll meet you there in a few minutes.
Yes, go on, darling. We'll see you in the snack bar.
Come along, Temple.
Sorry we've been so long.
What happened?
He was killed, Steve.
Oh, dear.
It must have been instantaneous.
Darling, I feel awful.
Now, Steve, listen. There's no point in reproaching yourself about this. If he hadn't resisted arrest, this would never have happened.
Who was he? Do you know?
Well, according to this diary we found on him, his name's Mark Kendall. Address 78A Nelson Towers, Chelsea. I'll get Vosper to check that.
Is there anything else in it of interest?
No, there doesn't seem to be. Oh, just a minute. Apparently our friend had a date this evening.
Where does it say that?
Look, October the 19th, 8:45, the Manila. Appointment with CB.
The Manila? That's familiar.
Yes, don't you remember, darling? Mrs. Portland mentioned it. She said that her stepdaughter was engaged... That's funny.
What is it, Steve?
She said that her stepdaughter was engaged to a man called Chris Boyer, CB. He's a professional dancer at the Manila Club.
I wonder if that's another coincidence, Sir Graham.
By George, this business is beginning to tie up, Temple. It's beginning to look as if Kendall really was mixed up in the Portland affair.
Then why did he break into our flat?
It's pretty obvious why he broke into the flat, darling. He was looking for something.
That watch chain?
It might have been the watch chain, Sir Graham.
Paul?
Yes, darling?
Wouldn't it be quite an idea if we went along to the Manila Club tonight and simply asked Boyer if he had an appointment with this man, Mark Kendall?
Quite an idea, but unfortunately neither of us happen to be members of the Manila.
We can easily get over that, Temple.
Oh, don't say you're a member, Sir Graham.
No, but Archie Brooks is. He'll fix you up all right.
Who's Archie Brooks?
One of our bright boys. We keep him on tap for occasions like this. I'll tell him to meet you both at the Manila at 10 o'clock. Is that all right?
Fine.
Well, I'll get back to the yard.
Don't forget the attaché case, Sir Graham. I picked it up when I came back into the store.
Oh, yes. I say, it's pretty heavy, isn't it?
You'd think so if you'd been biffed in the tummy with it.
Have you looked inside, Steve?
No, of course not.
What the devil was the fellow carrying about with him? Temple, look!
What is it? Why? Why, the case is full of notes.
By Timothy.
They're dollar bills.
Can I take your hat and coat, sir?
Oh, thank you.
I'll be with you in a moment, darling.
Yes, all right, Steve.
Here's your ticket, sir.
Thank you.
Excuse me, sir, but are you a member?
No, I'm looking for a Mr. Brooks.
Oh, are you Mr. Temple, sir?
Yes.
He's expecting you, sir. He's in the cocktail bar.
Thank you.
My hat and coat, please.
Have you got the ticket, sir?
Oh, I've got the confounded thing somewhere. It's number 74. Ah, here we are.
Hello, Green. I didn't expect to see you at the Manila.
Oh, hello, Temple. What are you doing here?
Well, strange though it may seem, I frequent this type of establishment.
You're welcome. It's not my idea of fun and games.
What is your idea of fun and games?
Do you play chess?
Indifferently, I'm afraid.
Well, that's my idea of fun and games.
Your hat and coat, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Are you a member here?
No, but Moira Portland is. I dropped in to have a word with her.
Oh, is Miss Portland here tonight?
Yes, she's with her fiancé, Chris Boyer. Silly girl's here every night. I wish to goodness someone would talk to her, Temple.
Huh? What about?
Well, she doesn't seem to realise how serious the situation is. Now that the old man's dead, I'm afraid a great deal of responsibility is going to fall on Moira. There's going to be a lot of work to do during the next 3 or 4 months. This is no time for gallivanting about. I'm afraid this chap Boyer is a very bad influence on her.
Is that what you've been telling her?
No, I've been trying to persuade her to come down to my place for the weekend. I've got Mrs. Portland staying with me and the old boy's secretary, George Kelly. There's a great deal to discuss, Temple.
Yes, I can well imagine it.
Hmm. Moira refuses to come unless I invite this fellow Boyer. Why the devil should I invite Boyer? Quite apart from the fact that I can't abide the fellow... He's not a member of the family, and he's got nothing whatever to do with the business.
Well, it looks as if he's going to be a member of the family, doesn't it?
Wouldn't be too sure about that. This isn't the first boyfriend Moira's lost her head over. Hello. Here she is.
Is that Boyer?
Yes.
He's very good looking.
And he dances like a dream, in case you're interested.
Hello, Hubert.
I thought you'd gone.
I'm just leaving, Moira. Oh, Moira, this is Mr. Temple.
How do you do?
How do you do?
We're just going into the bar, Hubert. Won't you join us?
No, thank you.
You can have an orangeade, darling.
I don't like orangeade.
I forgot. It's ginger ale, isn't it? Well, goodbye, Mr. Did you say your name was Temple?
Mr. Green said so, yes.
I've heard Stella talk about you. You know who I mean, don't you? Stella Portland, my stepmother.
Yes, we met on the boat coming over from America.
That must have been cosy. Oh, this is my fiancé, Chris Boyer.
How do you do, Mr. Temple?
How do you do?
This is quite an honour. I've heard a great deal about you, sir.
From Mrs. Portland?
No, no, I mean from the newspapers. They say you're the most famous private detective in England.
That's very nice of them. I wonder if Mr. Madison shares that opinion.
Mr. Madison?
He's another private detective, at least so I'm told. Ah, here's my wife. Will you excuse me?
Well, goodbye, Hubert.
Goodbye, Moira. I hope I shall see you at the weekend, both of you.
Why, that's charming of you. We shall be delighted, shan't we, Moira?
Of course. Delighted. Goodbye, Hubert.
Ah, Temple. Now you see what I'm up against. Hello, Mrs. Temple. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Green. I thought I recognized you.
Are you ready, Steve? Our friend's apparently in the cocktail bar.
Yes, I'm ready.
Well, goodbye, Temple. Goodbye, Mrs. Temple. Nice to have seen you again.
Goodbye. Is he a member here?
No, he only dropped in to have a word with Miss Portland.
Yes, that the girl I saw you talking to?
Yes. The rather sleek young man was her fiancé.
What? Boyer? Did you ask him about Kendall?
No, I didn't want to say anything in front of Green. Let's go in. Now, I wonder which one of these bright young things happens to be Archie Brooks.
Ah, better Fiver, that's him.
Where?
Over there, propping up the bar.
Well, you'll lose your Fiver. I'm much better looking than that. Oh. Mrs. Temple?
Yes?
I'm Archie Brooks. How are you? Temple?
Yes.
Glad to meet you. Heard an awful lot about you from Sir Graham. Deuced odd we haven't met before.
Yes, it is. I hope this date hasn't inconvenienced you.
Not in the slightest. I'm usually in some pub or other at this time of night. By the way, shall we go straight to our table? This place is a bit like a bear garden.
Yes, I think it's a very good idea.
Can you push your way through the bods, Mrs. Temple, or shall I shout fire?
I think I can manage.
Hello, Chunky. How are you?
Hello, George. How's things?
Ghastly.
Where's Edith?
She's in Tenby, old boy. Been there for 6 months.
Tenby?
Yes.
How very odd.
Oh, it's all very difficult, Chunky. Tell you next time we meet.
Yes, all right. Cheers, George.
Cheers, old boy.
And that was George Denson. We were at school together.
I rather gathered that.
Why did he call you Chunky?
Everybody calls me Chunky, Mrs. Temple. Do you remember those beautiful pineapple chunks we used to get?
Mm.
Well, I used to eat thousands of them when I was at school. Simply couldn't stop. Tin after tin. By golly, I've eaten some pineapple chunks in my time. Are you sure you won't have a liqueur, Mrs. Temple?
Quite sure.
What about you, Temple?
No, thank you.
Well, we'll have a cigar anyway. Robert, fetch us a decent cigar, will you?
Certainly, sir.
Did Sir Graham tell you why we wanted to come here tonight?
He said you wanted to see Chris Boyer. Can't imagine why.
Do you know him?
Vaguely. I know everyone vaguely, Mrs. Temple. That's my job.
What exactly is your job?
Didn't Sir Graham tell you?
No.
Then I should ask him. That's Chris Boyer over there. Shall I invite him over for a drink?
No, that might look obvious. Tell him Steve's been admiring his dancing and she'd like to have a dance with him.
He'll fall for that, all right. He thinks he's Casanova.
He's heading this way.
He walks exactly like a gigolo.
Hello, Chunky. How are you?
I'd like you to meet some friends of mine. Mr. and Mrs. Temple, Chris Boyer.
Mr. Temple and I have already met, but this is an unexpected pleasure, Mrs. Temple.
Now, now, Chris, don't start switching on the charm. Mrs. Temple's been admiring your dancing.
That's very nice of you, Mrs. Temple.
To me, you're just a rogue elephant with lumbago, but what's my opinion against so many?
You've taken the words right out of my mouth. Would you care to dance, Mrs. Temple?
I should love to.
Do you mind, sir?
No, of course not.
He's a conceited devil, isn't he?
Yes, but he knows how to dance.
Is Mr. Green a friend of your husband's, Mrs. Temple?
We met at Southampton. He came down to meet Mr. Portland.
Yes, of course. It was very sad about Mr. Portland. I was so much looking forward to meeting him.
Yes, he seemed to be a very nice man.
I don't remember seeing you here before, Mrs. Temple. Is your husband a member?
No, neither of us are members. I suppose we shouldn't be here, really. It was entirely Mr. Brooks's idea.
And a very nice idea, if I may say so.
Thank you.
It's not crowded tonight. Usually at this time, it's impossible to get a table.
Is your fiancée a good dancer, Mr. Boyer?
Yes. About average, I suppose.
I was awfully sorry to read about that friend of yours.
Which one?
The one you had an appointment with.
Who do you mean?
Haven't you read about it? He was knocked down by a taxi outside Harridge's.
Who are you talking about? I've no appointment this evening, except with my fiancée.
Well, there must be some mistake. I thought this man was a friend of yours. His name was Mark Kendall.
I've never heard of him. What gave you the impression he was a friend of mine?
Something my husband said. I must have misunderstood him.
I'm afraid you must. Shall we go back to the table?
Mr. Boyer's furious with me, darling. He's a heavenly dancer, and I've simply trodden all over his feet.
Good.
You've done nothing of the sort. You're a very good dancer, Mrs. Temple.
I'll bet you tell that to all the girls.
Now, if you'll excuse me. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Good night, Mrs. Temple.
Good night.
Well, did you ask him about Kendall?
Yes. He said that he hadn't an appointment, that he'd never even heard of him.
Do you think he was telling the truth, Steve?
Yes, I do.
You bet she does. Old Chris is an accomplished liar. He lies even better than he dances. Oh, by the way, Sir Graham told me to give you a message. You know those notes? The ones in the attaché case?
Yes.
They were counterfeit. Damn good counterfeit, too. Personally, I couldn't tell the difference.
Did Sir Graham tell you about Kendall, about what happened?
Yes. I knew the fellow. He used to be an artist with one of the big advertising agencies. Temperamental sort of cove, from what I remember.
How well did you know it?
Oh, vaguely. Very vaguely. I say, look here, Temple. It's 11:45. Would you mind terribly if we broke the party up?
No, of course not. I was going to suggest that we made a move.
Have you got a date, Mr. Brooke?
Oh, good Lord, no. Only I promised to pop in and see my sister. She's got a flat just round the corner.
Your sister?
Yes. She's been my sister for years.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, what is it, Robert?
There's a telephone call for Mrs. Temple, sir.
Oh, for me?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you sure it isn't for Mr. Temple?
Quite sure, sir. The gentleman particularly asked for Mrs. Temple. He refused to give his name, sir.
Yes, all right. I'll take it.
There's a box in the hall, madam.
I'll come with you, darling. Goodbye, Brooks. Thank you for the dinner.
Delighted, old boy. Goodbye, Mrs. Temple. See you again sometime.
I hope so. Thank you for a lovely evening. Who do you think it is on the phone, darling?
I should imagine it's Charlie.
Shall I take it?
Yes, of course.
Hello?
Hello. Is that Mrs. Temple?
Yes.
This is George Kelly here. Do you remember me? We met on the boat coming over from the States.
Yes, of course I remember you. You're Mr. Portland's secretary.
I was his secretary. Yeah, you got the right guy, all right. Mrs. Temple, listen, there's something I want to say to you.
Well, I'm listening, Mr. Kelly.
Now, don't take this wrong. This isn't a melodramatic warning. It's just a nice piece of friendly advice. I took a liking to that husband of yours, Mrs. Temple. He looks a pretty regular fella.
Well, I think so. Of course, I may be prejudiced.
Regular fellas like that should be taken care of, you know? They shouldn't be allowed to go around pushing their noses into affairs which don't concern them.
What do you mean?
Tell your husband to keep out of this Madison case. If he doesn't, he's going to get mixed up with a bunch of very unpleasant customers. I know. I happen to be one of them.
I don't think you're unpleasant, Mr. Kelly. A little stupid, perhaps, but not unpleasant.
You don't know me, baby. Let's hope you don't get to know me. Remember what I've told you. You have a word with that husband of yours. If he's smart, he'll catch on.
Mr. Kelly, just supposing your wife told you...
I haven't got a wife, honey.
Well, supposing you had a wife, and supposing you were mixed up in the Madison case, and supposing she told you to keep your nose out of it, what would you do, Mr. Kelly?
I'd take a slow boat to China.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
What do you make of it?
It sounded to me as if he'd been told to contact you. Did you notice, Steve? He said, tell your husband to keep out of this Madison case. Not Portland, but Madison. Yet when I spoke to Kelly on the boat, he said he'd never even heard of Madison.
Yes, but who is Madison? If Portland was telling the truth and Madison's a private detective, he shouldn't be difficult to find.
Well, the Yard can't find him. I've had Sir Graham on his track for almost a week now.
There's another thing, Paul. How did Kelly know that we were here at the Manila?
He might have seen us come in. Unless, of course...
Someone tipped him off?
Yes. Come on, Steve.
Where did you put the car?
It's round the corner in a side street.
Paul, I've been thinking about Hubert Green.
Do you think he simply invented that story about Madison in order to get Portland over here?
Well, according to Green, he had plenty of excuses for getting Portland over here.
His daughter, for instance.
Yes.
What do you think of Moira Portland?
I don't know what to think of her. She's either what Hubert Green says she is, the spoiled daughter of a millionaire, or...
Or what?
Or she's putting on a very good act.
Well, I can't say I like her fiancé, although he danced like an angel. Is this the car?
Yes.
You didn't leave your lights on.
That's funny. I could have sworn...
What is it?
Steve, listen.
Paul, what is it?
There's someone in the car, in the back seat. Look!
Paul. Paul, it's Archie.
Don't touch him.
Paul, there's a knife. It's covered in blood.
Steve, listen. Run back to the club and phone for an ambulance. Then find out if there's a doctor in...
Temple, don't. It's too late.
Do as I say, Steve.
No. No, wait. Listen. There's something I want to tell you. You know that man... The one that was killed, Mark Kendall.
Yes?
You thought he had an appointment with Chris Boye, didn't you?
Yes, we did. It was in his diary, appointment with CB.
I'm the man he had the appointment with, Temple. I'm CB.
You are?
Chunky. Rooks. Everybody calls me Chunky.
Paul, what's happened?
He's dead.
That was the second episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Emma Curry, Robin Lang, Greg Powery, Michael McKenzie, Lucy Patterson, Gareth Thomas, Richard Greenwood, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.